Almighty and ever-living God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and you gladly give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us your abundant mercy. Give us those things that weigh on our conscience, and give us those good things that come only through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 through 32. The Lord said, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of the 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again, he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of the 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Today we will be reading Psalm 138. I will read the odd verses, and if you could read the even verses together. "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called, you answered me. You increase my strength of soul.
All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
The second reading is from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 15. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and establish in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the element spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity swells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespass and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive altogether with him. When he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands, he set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, do not let anyone condemn you in the matters of food and drink, or of observing festivals, new moons, or Sabbaths. These are only a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone disqualify you, insisting on self-abasement and worship of angels, dwelling on visions, puffed up without cause by a human way of thinking, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows with growth that is from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to stand as you're able for the reading of the Gospel, the seventh Sunday of Pentecost. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there any among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Invite any children or youth to come forward for a children's message. Hi, Scotty. Good morning. Hi. Wonderful. Great to have you here this morning. Great to hear your voices. If we don't hear the voices of young voices at church, something's wrong. So welcome and glad that you're here. This morning's gospel talks about the Lord's Prayer and how Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. And there's going to be a dramatic reading a little bit later in the service with Lisa Murph and I. But so I'm not going to talk about the Lord's Prayer right now, but I wanted to talk about how we learn to pray and different ways that we can pray. And one way that I remember that you can pray is by holding your hand out and looking at your fingers and pray for different people according to which finger or thumb you have out. And I learned to start with your thumb. So you're praying for those people that are closest to you because your thumb is usually the finger that's closest to your body, right? So you pray for those closest to you, and then you got a pointer finger. What might your pointer finger stand for? Yeah. Okay, people at your house. So it could be teachers, would be another way of looking at that. And then you got your tallest finger. What might your tallest finger be? Do you have an idea?
And thumb. Yeah, it gets way up and way down, right? Because it's your biggest finger. And then you have your ring finger. Is that, which is your strongest finger, do you think, in your hand? Probably your thumb, you're posing. And ring finger is usually your weakest finger. So when I think of that finger, I think of the people that are weakest or the people that are in need, the people that might be hurting, maybe the people that are sick. And then there's someone else I haven't prayed for yet. Who might that be? For ourselves. So their pinky is to pray for yourself. So we're going to have a kind of a conversational prayer, and I invite you to pray with me, and I'm going to ask you to help me in this prayer, because God just wants to hear from us, and it doesn't have to be perfect when we pray. Let's pray. We're going to pray, first of all, for that thumb, those people that are closest to us. So we remember, who are those people that are closest to you? Parents? Mom? Dad? Grandma? Pray and give thanks. Okay, give thanks for all those people. And then our pointer finger, those who teach us, give thanks for those teachers at school, right? Hopefully they've had a good summer. They're going to be ready to come back to school and to teach. We pray for the teachers in our Sunday school here at church as well. And then our tallest finger, we pray for our leaders. Who are some of our leaders that we pray for? Okay, maybe me, yeah, kind of a leader. I think about our elected people that we elected as public service. Okay, yeah, front of the line. The teachers. I think of our government, our president, and our representatives, our senators. Our state legislatures need our prayers, right? God's our leader. We give thanks to God. How about the ring finger, the weakest finger? Who do we pray for there?
The poor.
The poor? Exactly. Maybe those that are hungry? Maybe the people that are in the hospital or people that are not feeling well? And then lastly, for yourself. What are things that you want to pray for yourself about? Great. Yeah. We can give thanks for things, right? When we pray for ourselves, we give thanks for the food that we have, that we have a shelter, we have a place to stay, we have a place to eat, a place to live. We give thanks to God for all these things, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, as you take a cookie, I invite you to take one of these slips of paper that has your fingers and has it kind of labeled what you pray for on each of those fingers in case you forget, and I invite you to pray for those people tonight when you go home with your families, okay? I invite the congregation to join in singing our next hymn, which is in the other psalm book, number 198. I can't stand very well. Want one of these? You get one of those? You can take two. Take two or three. Want one of these too? One of those. Thanks for coming up. That's good. Thank you. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Will you join me in prayer, please? Almighty God, you know our needs before we ask, yet you command us to come before you in prayer. Teach us to pray as you taught your disciples. Open our eyes to see the comfort, the power, the assurance that prayer can bring to our lives. Amen. How is your prayer life? Do you wonder if God is listening? Do you have confidence that God is going to hear and answer your prayers? Part of our gospel today was, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. As you listened to the gospel, perhaps your mind's eye, like mine, zipped through the Lord's Prayer as automatic as breathing. You know the Lord's Prayer. You're familiar with the words. You may even prefer the traditional wording over the contemporary wording. Perhaps as you listen today, your mind even inserted the phrase that Luke didn't include. Perhaps you're so familiar with the Lord's Prayer that you didn't even pause to wonder why Luke didn't include some of the phrases that the other Gospels use. My eyes were drawn to the story about persistent prayer being rewarded and the loving concern of God. My attention came to full focus in the words, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. I had a quick flash of getting the news that I won one of those raffle tickets for the Alaska Airlines tickets. Wouldn't that be nice? That if only we can pray persistently enough, sincerely enough, piously enough, humbly enough, then we'll get what we want, whatever we pray for. The next words continue to build up my hope. Our Father God knows how to give good gifts to his children. Great. I think I know exactly what I want. It's just like looking through the Christmas catalog or scanning through the web pages of the Amazon website. Then my hopes fade a little bit as Jesus continues. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I was thinking about the basics here. A spouse, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, food, car, a bike, making a free throw, getting a raise. The Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. My natural thoughts had turned to what I wanted rather than what God wants to give to me. I'm drawn back to the request of the disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus continued, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. As you may have noticed, the Gospel of Luke has a somewhat abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer. That's okay because it helps us pick out a few things. Jesus instructs us to pray for needs, not wants, for necessities, not convenience. It's entirely possible that I could live a good life without winning the Alaska Airlines raffle, and Lord knows I didn't make all my free throws. Jesus also instructs us to pray for others more than ourselves. Give us our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. It's a prayer that seems to be made to pray in community. Did you catch the phrase that's different in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer than what we normally pray? We typically pray, forgive us our trespasses or sins as we forgive those who trespass or sin against us. The call to forgive others is given more prominence in Luke. In Luke, it's, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. The idea that we should forgive others is a given. It's not forgive us as we forgive others, but forgive us for we forgive others. Jesus continues this emphasis on thinking beyond ourselves. Jesus instructs us to pray for God's will to be done for all of us. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our daily sins. Lead us not into temptation. Or as the New Revised Standard Version put it, lead us not into the time of trial. We're instructed to pray for what is needed, not just for ourselves, but for all of us. We ask for bread for all of us, but only daily bread, not enough to fill the freezer. A young child once confided to her parents that she knew how to get what she wanted for them. I beg and beg until I get my own way. The father image that Jesus instructs us to address isn't the wimpy parent who gives into the child's temper tantrum. A father's love is firm and wise, knowing what we need, especially when we're prone to not being very good at differentiating between needs and wants. Perhaps even forcing us to pray persistently enough till we begin to see the difference between needs and wants. Jesus encourages us to address God as Father, the perfect Father, unlike any human father, a father who cares very deeply for his own, a father who cares enough to give what is needed rather than what is desired, a father who seeks to mold us into the image of his Son, perhaps even an image that includes the scars of the one who cares for others more than self. And that can be kind of scary. This Father seeks to give his Holy Spirit to those who ask. What more could we ask for than for the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we might live now and forever? Perhaps we succumb to the temptation to pray for too little, for things that last a day, a month, a year, a lifetime, rather than for a life which will never end. Jesus teaches us to pray with a heart that's open to receive the Holy Spirit, opening our eyes to the needs of our neighbor, and hands open to receive the living bread from heaven. How do you have confidence that God hears and answers prayer? He's commanded us to pray and then taught us how. Furthermore, Jesus describes our Heavenly Father. If earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, then your Heavenly Father will certainly give his greatest gift, the Holy Spirit, to his children. We have a classic hymn that speaks of the love that our Heavenly Father has for his children, though the image could easily be that of a mother, God as mother. The image that comes to mind is the protective mother hen watching over her brood. That hymn begins, "Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. God his own doth tend and nourish, in his holy courts they flourish. From all evil things he spares them, in his mighty arms he bears them. Neither life nor death shall ever from the Lord his children sever. Unto them his grace he showeth, and their sorrows all he knoweth. Though he giveth or he taketh, his God's children ne'er forsaketh. His the loving purpose solely to preserve them pure and holy. Thanks be to God. Amen." Our sermon hymn is number 781. I invite you to rise as you're able, and we'll sing the third verse a cappella. Be seated for the drama reading. Our Father who art in heaven.
Yes?
Don't interrupt me. I'm praying.
But you called me.
Called you? I didn't call you. I'm praying. Our Father who art in heaven.
There, you did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, Our Father who art in heaven. That's me. What's on your mind?
But I didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers. I say the Lord's Prayer every day. I feel like I'm getting the duty done.
Well, that's not really the right attitude, but go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold it. What did you mean by that?
It means, how should I know? It's just part of the prayer.
Hallowed means honored, holy, wonderful. Make sense?
Well, yeah, it does, I guess. I just never thought about what it meant before.
Go on.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be.
Do you really mean that?
Sure, why not?
What are you doing to make it true?
Well, nothing, I guess. I just thought it would be neat if you had control over everything on earth as you do in heaven.
Have I got control over you?
Well, I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? That's a real problem, along with the way you spend your money on all yourself. And what about the kinds of books and movies you pay for?
Hey, stop picking on me. I'm just as good as all those others at church. I don't see you bothering them.
Excuse me, but I thought I heard you praying for my will to be done. If that is going to happen, then maybe the people who are praying for it should lead the way.
Oh, all right. I guess I do have a few faults.
A few?
Well, maybe more. I hadn't thought about it much before, but some things I do really bother me. I just don't know how to stop.
I can help you. We will work together. Big victories can be won. I'm proud of you.
Look, Lord, I need to get going. This prayer is taking much longer than it usually does. Give us this day our daily bread.
Do you really think I will, or is this just another one of your formalities?
I know you've always provided for me, but sometimes I do worry about not having enough food someday.
Did it ever occur to you to take some responsibility on your own and work with hunger groups and try to help people get food and use it wisely?
Well, no. I never thought there was much I could do about hunger in the world. I guess I learned something. Wow, this prayer could leave me a changed person.
Well, go on.
I'm scared to. I know what you're going to say.
Try me and see.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
What about Kevin?
See, I knew it. You had to bring him up. He's just a creep who treated me like dirt. Well, it's hard to forgive sometimes.
It can't be much fun carrying around that load of bitterness inside you.
No, but I just can't seem to forgive and forget. It's so hard.
But think of how unhappy you are right now. Forgive Kevin as I have forgiven you.
Oh, but Lord, I can't.
Please try.
You're right, Lord. You always are. I do forgive Kevin. Maybe I just don't understand him very well. Lord, help me to forget as well as to forgive.
That's my gift that comes in time.
Next is to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Good, good. But there's more to it than just saying the words. For one thing, don't put yourself in places where you will be tempted. For example, look at some of the people you hang around with. You know they are a bad influence on you, but you stick around. If you can't take the first step yourself, what can I do for you?
Oh, Lord, please give me the strength I need to stay away from them.
Request granted with pleasure. You see, you're learning how to make prayer work for you. Why don't you finish?
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Do you know what would really make me happy?
No, but I'd like to. I want to please you. I want to follow your will because I know it would change my life.
You just answered the question.
I did?
The thing that would really give me glory is to have the people really love me and obey me. People like you. Now that you're free from your old sins, there's no limits to what we can do together.
Lord, let's see what we can make out of me.
Yes, let's see.
Thanks, Lisa.